Hi friend, welcome to this week's episode of Unlock Your Child's Full Potential, where we're all about nurturing enduring connections with our children. I'm your host, Billy, and today we're talking about unconditional love. Recently, I've been revisiting a book called Unconditional Parenting by Alfie Kohn, which really challenges traditional ideas about raising children and encourages us to think deeply about the kind of relationship we want with our kids and our priorities as parents. The author's message has struck a chord with me, and I'm eager to share some of the book's ideas. So when Dr. Tracy reached out to discuss unconditional love, I was thrilled to hear her perspective and delve into the topic together. We explore what it truly means to love our children unconditionally and how we can put this into practice, especially if we find it challenging. Dr. Tracy, also known as the Heart Communicator, is a respected holistic life coach, published author, and dynamic speaker who brings a wealth of experience and insight to our conversation. For the sake of this discussion, we will differentiate between two types of parental love, conditional and unconditional, looking at one distinction, namely, between loving kids for what they do and loving them for who they are. The first sort of love is conditional, which means children must earn it by acting in ways we deem appropriate or by performing to our standards. The second sort of love is unconditional. It doesn't hinge on how they act, whether they are successful or well-behaved or anything else. We just love them for no good reason.
For me, unconditional love is letting go of all judgment, you know, just letting go and allowing, and then accept everything as it comes in the now moment, not resisting it or pushing up against it, just allowing it to be. And I know that's kind of sometimes difficult for us to do, but when you stay connected to your heart and you observe, seeing things through the eyes of non-judgment, that's unconditional love for me.
But here's where it gets tricky. What counts is not just that we believe we love them unconditionally, but that they feel loved in that way. You might ask, why does it matter so much? Love is love. I beg to differ. Loving children unconditionally brings many benefits. When children are being loved for who they are, they can accept themselves as fundamentally good people, even when they screw up or fall short. This builds their confidence and helps them bounce back from tough times. They learn to trust and accept others and develop healthy relationships. They are more willing to take risks, knowing that they have a safety net of love and support. Plus, it encourages them to talk openly with us parents, as they feel safe expressing their thoughts, feelings, and concerns without fear of judgment or rejection. Unconditional love, in short, is what children require to flourish. Nevertheless, we parents are often pulled in the direction of placing conditions on our approval. We are led to do so not only by what we were raised to believe, but also by the way we were raised. You might say we're conditioned to be conditional. No wonder it's hard for many people to imagine love among humans without strings attached. It requires a shift in mindset and a willingness to let go of control, expectations, and the need for validation through our children's actions. Dr. Tracy shares what, in her opinion, keeps us from experiencing and giving unconditional love.
Everything that we experience, whether it's adults or children, we experience it in and through our hearts. So if I go back to the definition in terms of what unconditional love is loving without judgment. So when we judge, we create a resistance in our hearts or resistance within. And when we just let go and allow, then we experience the freedom, whatever is going on in the moment. Most often we're not in tune to what's going on in our heart and what we're feeling. We're stuck in our heads. We are ignoring our heart and what we're feeling, and it'll take us over like our emotions, and it takes us longer to get back into the center point.
So being in our head is what's blocking the flow and experience of unconditional love.
Yes, because it's our thoughts that's judging. Like when we're judging something, we're thinking about everything that has happened or what's going on in the moment, instead of just shifting and getting in this, you know, heart space and feeling the feeling. Because so often we like to avoid it. We like to avoid whatever it is that we're experiencing, especially when it's something that's unpleasant. Like if we're frustrated or angry or hurt, we don't want to experience that. So we find a way of escape and we get stuck in our heads and just think more. You know, the more thoughts that we think surrounded it, the more we create the blocks or the emotion that keeps us from experiencing the freedom of unconditional love.
Unconditional love isn't a fancy term for letting kids do whatever they want, though.
Unconditional love is not just going along to get along or just allowing your kids to do any and everything. Most often kids, and they say even teenagers, they look for you to discipline them in terms of saying no or not allowing them to do everything, because sometimes they look at that and understand that that's your way of letting them know that you love them. But I know there's a lot of individuals or kids that don't see it like that. They just think the parents is being mean or want to hold something back from them. But that is definitely not unconditional love when you say yes to everything. If you don't have any of those things, like saying no or having different restrictions or parameters of boundaries in which you would have your kids to operate, that isn't love at all.
So unacceptable behavior isn't to be ignored. It's very important to teach and to reflect together on how to handle things differently next time. But it shouldn't happen right there during the storm of emotions when the child is dysregulated. It should happen in a calm moment after the storm has passed. And the way we handled the moment of high emotions is also of extreme importance. Whatever lesson we hope to impart is far more likely to be learned if our child knows that our love for them is undimmed by how they acted before. Imagine a situation like this. A girl is yelling, obviously upset. And when she quiets down, her mom lies in bed with her arm around her and reads her a story. A proponent of conditional parenting might say, "No, no, no, you're reinforcing her bad behavior. You're teaching her that it's all right to be naughty." But this assumes that given half a chance, kids will take advantage of us. Give them an inch, they'll take a mile. They'll draw the worst possible lesson from the situation. Not, "I'm loved anyway," but, "Yay, it's okay to make trouble." That would be based on a deeply cynical belief that accepting kids for who they are just frees them to be bad because, well, that's who they are. But this is not what you and I believe, right? Let's remind ourselves that our children's goal is not to make us miserable. When they misbehave, they're telling us in the only way they know that something is wrong. It may be something that just happened, or it may reveal undercurrents that have been there for a while. And it's our job to find out what the real reason is. Such a perspective is not a denial of the fact that kids sometimes do rotten things and need to be guided and helped. But they are not little monsters who must be tamed. They have the capacity to be compassionate or aggressive, altruistic or selfish, cooperative or defiant. A great deal depends on how they were raised, including, among other things, whether they feel loved unconditionally. At this point, you might be intellectually agreeing with all that said, but still unsure how to make the shift into unconditional love.
I always have this practice whenever we're experiencing unpleasant emotions, because most often if we're withdrawing our love from our child or we're disciplining them over and beyond what they really deserve based on whatever has taken place, is that I call it shifting into unconditional love. So what you do is you stop, you acknowledge what you're experiencing in your heart, you accept what you're experiencing, you don't judge it, you accept it, and then you let go and allow and love yourself through it. So in what manner, you know, when you go through each step and you get to the part of demonstrating the unconditional love, you stop and say, in what way can I show or demonstrate love to, first of all, myself? Because if they're frustrated and angry, they have to shift back into their heart where they're in a place of peace, not making a decision to as how they're going to handle or discipline the child to shift, and then figure out a way in which you can demonstrate love to the child from a place of non-judgment in terms of what they would need in that moment. But first, you have to shift into unconditional love within yourself. So that's how I feel like parents would be more successful in making a choice and a decision that wouldn't be as harsh as withdrawing their love or punishing the child that is to an extreme level.
I love that. Loving others unconditionally starts with mastering the art of self-love. I love
Yes.
that. Something I've learned from Mel Robbins is to start my morning with a high five in the mirror and saying to myself, I love you. So that's a wonderful practice that one of my daughters saw me a few times doing, and she began doing it too. So this is just a little practice to remind you of how wonderful a person you are.
Yes, that is so true. And most often, like when you like you share your desires to assist parents in helping their children to become their best, but the manner in which we do it is being an example, right? So if we learn how to unconditionally love ourselves in the midst of everything that's going on and learn how to just do a woosah and breathe or be in tune and aware of not only ourselves but our children as well, because sometimes they just need a hug. I have a grandson that he is very high strung and he's the sweetest little boy, but there's times when he gets in his little space. And even though it gets frustrating, but if I just grab him and just give him a little hug and tell him how much I love him, it causes him to shift from in that space. But sometimes we need a hug, right? We need to hug ourselves, right?
I read somewhere that every one of us needs at least 7 hugs a day to feel good and complete. Imagine 7 hugs. I get a lot from my kids, but once they get older, I guess 7 hugs will be a challenge.
Yes, definitely. You know, especially like in reference to like the teenagers, they don't, after they get to a certain age, they don't want you touching them. Not very much anyway. Like my granddaughter, she's a teenager and I'll tell her to give me a kiss. That's one of the things. I don't want a kiss. Well, give me a hug. No. You
Okay,
know.
so once they get older, how do we express our love? Give me some examples for the day-to-day.
Well, one of the things that I really just being there for them, not meaning giving them everything they want or they choose, but just being there, allowing them, letting them know that you are there for them and that if there's something that they're having challenges with, even if most often they don't want to talk to the parent, but you make a space available for them to be who they are and to be free and to not judge, you know, because these days, like, we were talking earlier, you know, kids are different. So not judging them for them being different because we don't understand why they think the way they think and do the things they do. Just be open to listen and to hear and to accept them for who they are and where they are.
And try not to react to what you hear.
Yes. And sometimes it's very difficult. You might have to walk out and go in another room for a moment so they don't see it all. Because, like with older kids, even in middle school, the biggest and the most important thing to them is being accepted.
Friend, if you haven't already, click on the link provided in the show notes to join my email list. By signing up, you'll receive notifications whenever a new episode is released, along with the key insights from each episode delivered straight to your inbox every week. Also, make sure to follow me on social media for additional updates and behind-the-scenes content.
You know, that's the reason why they want to get in, you know, little cliques or crowds and things of that nature. But they not only need to be feel accepted among their peers in that school and when they're out in the world, but they need to feel accepted at home as well in terms of who they are, even though they think different because they're being influenced by other kids outside of the family structure and it's out of alignment with what you may have taught them. And you're just thinking to yourself, okay, where did you get that from? But just being in a place of making an effort to understand. I think that's the first experience of love is being accepted. The first, you know, manifestation of experiencing love from another person is them accepting you for who you are.
I'd love to share a heartwarming practice I've been doing with my own daughters, which some of our listeners might find meaningful to incorporate in their own routines. Every night, as I tuck them into bed, I make sure to look them in the eyes and tell them, I love you. And nothing in this world will ever change that. It's a simple ritual we repeat each evening. And one of my daughters often says it back to me. My hope is that this nightly affirmation will become ingrained in their hearts and minds, reassuring them that my love for them is unwavering, no matter what life brings.
It is, and I know it is, because when you do that, especially when you look into their eyes, and one of the things that I also share in terms of assisting with opening the heart is have them put their hands on their heart as well. And when you look into each other's eyes and put their hands on your heart, because what happens is when you put your hands on your heart, it opens your heart to receive.
I love that. I'll try that with them.
Because then, you know, they say like a seed is being planted, and that's what's happening. I promise you, they won't forget. And it'll be times when they get older and they might be somewhere and they're going to remember before they go to bed that if nobody else loves me, my mom loves me.
Yeah. And I think we're setting the example of what love is like, what it feels like. And when they go out in the world and look for a partner or their friends, they will know what true love is.
Yes. And that's really, really, really important. And that's where the kids learn it. They see it, like when you were saying your daughter saw you in the mirror and saying that you love yourself, and she practiced it. So the kids really pay attention to everything that we do, but it's not about just the experience in terms of what they see physically, but it's what they experience in their heart.
Again, I want to emphasize that how we feel about our kids isn't as important as how they experience those feelings and how they regard the way we treat them. Here's a brief excerpt from the book Unconditional Parenting, focusing on what actions to avoid if you aim to ensure your child feels unconditionally loved. Discipline techniques rooted in power, such as hitting, yelling, and threatening, are clearly incongruent with unconditional love. However, there are subtler strategies that can be equally harmful. For instance, controlling children with love, either by withholding it when kids are bad or by showering them with attention when they're good. Like anything else, love withdrawal can be applied in different ways and with varying levels of intensity. At one end of the continuum, a parent might pull back ever so slightly in response to something the child has done, becoming chillier and less affectionate, perhaps without even being aware of it. When I came across this concept in the book, it hit me hard because I recognize that I sometimes fall into those patterns myself. But it's important to remember that none of us are perfect. So if you find yourself relating to this, don't be too hard on yourself. We are all on a journey of learning and growth, and acknowledging our mistakes is the first step toward positive change. At the other end of the continuum, a parent may announce bluntly, "When you do things like that, I don't even want to be around you." Some parents withdraw their love by simply refusing to respond to a child, that is, by making a point of ignoring them. They might not say it out loud, but the message they're sending is pretty clear. If you do things I don't like, I won't pay any attention to you. I'll pretend you're not even here. If you want me to acknowledge you again, you'd better obey me. Still, other parents separate themselves physically from the child. There are two ways of doing this. The parent can either walk away, which may leave a child sobbing or crying out in panic, "Mommy, come back, come back," or banish the child to another room for a timeout. There's nothing wrong with giving a child the option of going to their room or another inviting place when they're upset or angry. It indeed can be helpful when it's in their control and it's not experienced as punishment. But when it's a sentence handed down by the parent, timeout is actually a solitary confinement. Harsh, isn't it? What are the long-term effects of love withdrawal? The most striking one is fear and anxiety. Even as young adults, people who are treated that way by their parents are more likely to be unusually anxious. No question about it. A parent has considerable power to manipulate children through their need for parental affection and approval, and their fear of loss of parents' emotional support. But this is not like, say, fear of the dark, which most people outgrow. Rather, it's the sort of fear that can be as enduring as it is shattering. Nothing is more important to us when we are young than how our parents feel about us. Uncertainty about that, or terror about being abandoned, can leave its mark even after we've grown. Parents, if this last part doesn't encourage you to consider changing your approach, I'm not sure what will. I understand it can be tough because it goes against what society tells us about parenting. Plus, parents might struggle with their own worries or past experiences that make it hard to fully embrace unconditional love. But making this change means shifting how we think and being open to letting go of control and expectations. It's about taking time to think and putting our children's happiness first. Tell us about your book, Broken Open: A Truthful Journey into Your Heart.
So my book Broken Open is all about my journey, and as it states, it's a truthful journey into my heart. And I entitled the book Broken Open because so often we consider ourselves, our hearts being broken whenever we're going through, a trauma or emotional pain. But I say that your heart is broken open so that the treasure of unconditional love can come forth. It's when, that so often we create emotional blocks, to try to protect our hearts, but we're not protecting our hearts. We're actually holding the pain in within. So when your heart is broken open, it allows for it to come up and out, whatever it is. And then whatever has been covered by the blocks, meaning the unconditional love, it allows it to come up and out and you experience it. So
That's beautifully said. I love it.
Within my book is also what I'll call the heart scan process. AIR, AIR is an acronym and stands for Abundance, Inner Journey, and Relationships. So what I do is when I'm working with my clients and I take the individual on a journey into their heart as I did, and to help them to identify the emotional blocks that's keeping them from experiencing their peace, the power of unconditional love, and their purpose.
Would you like to tell people where they can further connect with you and learn more about your process and how to work with you?
My website is openheartworld.com. And when you go on the website, it'll have a little pop-up that comes up that I always send a love note to the individuals that when they put their information in, I'll send you a love note. Whatever one you receive, that you open your heart to really receive and experience the love note that's coming from within. Because what I always say, if you don't go within, you go without. And so, Open Heart World. And on there, you can also book a heart scan as well. I do heart scans for, personal heart scans for individuals to help them on their journey of falling in love with them.
Awesome. Thank you so much, Dr. Tracy. It was a pleasure talking to you.
Yes, it was so much. And thank you so much for trusting me with your audience. And I really enjoyed it.
Friend, thank you so much for listening and letting me be part of your day. Have a great week, and I'll see you next Wednesday.